Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Tuesday, September 3rd, 2019. I hope everyone who had an extended holiday weekend this last weekend had a great one. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Kelly. Good to be here.
Glad to have you with us. We've got some peppy, fun, uplifting stories to talk about today with you and my other guest today, Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, my vacation was so good, I smell like campfire smoke.
That is the right kind of vacation, I have to say. That is the right kind of vacation. Yeah, that sounds great. I'll tell you what's not great, unfortunately, is our first story, which is a really interesting, to me anyway, botnet.
What do you mean it's not great? This is a great story. This is like the feel-good story of September so far.
Okay, that's true. It probably is the feel-good story of September, which should tell you everything you need to know about September.
It's a fantastic story.
Well,
not great.
Let's hear the story. Andrew, take it away.
Yeah, so I think this was recent. At least this article is from a couple days ago.
Is it in August?
Okay. So there was this botnet in France that was infecting computers with some cryptocurrency miners. Mm-hmm. And how this works is that a botnet is basically some kind of malware that lets the person control a lot of computers at once to do whatever they want. I think in this case it was 450,000.
No.
850,000. Oh, and they weren't just in France. They're scattered, but that's
the magical part of the definition of a botnet is generally the owner of the machine doesn't know that their thing is part of this botnet. So sometimes you will hear zombie computing or things like that, and that's sort of what it is your computer, without your knowing, is doing something. And generally a botnet is not a force for good. Usually the people behind these have what we'll call less than savory intent.
Yeah, like DDoS attacks, denial of service attacks, spam, sending out millions of spams. Mm-hmm. Turns out it takes a computer, right? There are computers that are actually sending all that unwanted spam in your email, and it's probably coming from a Windows botnet somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then also, mm-hmm. I mean, like these bad folks are doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So most of the malware was in France, so I kind of lost this part of the story. Like, it just jumps to talk about Avast. So they discovered it first, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they discovered the flaw in the command servers.
Okay.
And
then they contacted French police.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So they discovered this flaw in the command servers, but they lacked the legal authority to do anything with it. Like, they would essentially be, like, hacking computers.
They would also be breaking the law to go in and clean it up.
Right. So they approached the police, and the police got a judge to sign off on the police using what Avast found. Mm-hmm. And then they turned around. They used that flaw to disinfect the computers. So they basically had the botnet clean itself up.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. really interesting. They worked with the web host that was hosting what is called the command and control server, which is the thing that controls the whole botnet. Mm-hmm. And the police worked with the web host hosting the server. They created a clone of the CNC server, but instead of using it to infect more people, they did the opposite and used it to disinfect all the computers.
Yeah.
So it was pretty fascinating.
Yeah, I love the story. I hate botnets. I hate the folks who do that sort of thing. And the good guys won around. And this really is probably a drop in the bucket. The French police are like, you know, talking it up. It's like, yeah, this is one of the largest botnets around, which may or may not be the case, but there are plenty more out there. But this is one where the good guys won.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Yeah. Just this once, Rose. Everybody lives. The thing...
I mean, not to take the wind out of their sails, but there have been much bigger botnets.
Oh, sure.
But still, what they did was really great.
Now, the thing about this one that was interesting to me was first of all, the fact that they were able to use the same flaw to go clean everything up. I thought that was notable. But also, the distribution of victims. There's this little pie chart in the write-up that Avast gave. Avast went through, there's a whole timeline of like, this is when we discovered it, this is what happened, this is what we did, and then they said this, and then we said this, and then we, you know, there's a whole breakdown of how this all played out, which is kind of interesting. But the thing that I thought was interesting was in the distribution of victims, it's only Windows machines, so if you're an Apple user, you're good in this case. But more than half of the victims of this, of the computers running this botnet, were Windows 7. And there was even more Windows 8 than there was Windows 10. And there's still a sliver of Windows XP, which I thought was interesting.
So here's a facet of this that just occurred to me. So the bad guys were using this botnet to mine cryptocurrency. And mining cryptocurrency with CPUs is grossly inefficient.
Okay.
Right? You're using a lot of electricity to get almost nothing done. It depends on what cryptocurrency they were mining. I guess they could have been mining Monero, which is still pretty CPU dominated. But the point is that these computers are running Windows 7. That means that they're older XP or even Windows 8. They're older, they're slower, right? So there was just an immense amount of electricity being wasted, making this criminal organization some money. Infuriates me.
Yeah. And it does say we were able to determine that most infected computers had either two or four cores. The average number was 2.94. And over 85% of this botnet's victim had no third-party antivirus software installed. Some also had it disabled, which left them vulnerable and allowed them to unwittingly spread the infection further. Because we are usually only able to protect Avast users, it was very exciting for us to help protect the rest of the world from malware on a massive scale.
Hear, hear. So say we all.
And I will point out that at least with Windows 10, there's, I think it's called Windows Defender, something like that. The solid internal tools are better than nothing, and you don't have to pay for them. So if you have a Windows machine, at least turn on Windows Defender, and you can always kind of backstop that with something else. A couple that I know are Avast. That's one that I've used a lot on Windows machines, and Malwarebytes, which also does some basic virus scanning, but is a good thing to just sort of fire off kind of every time you think about it and make sure that you're not unwittingly helping some noob crypto miner spend a bunch of your CPU cycles trying to make money. So, I mean, you know, we talk about it all the time, but especially on the Windows side, there are a couple of real basic things you can do. I believe a good number of the non-made by Microsoft antivirus stuff also has like a very basic level of protection you can get for free or super cheap. So it's definitely worth it to make sure that you've at least got something that can alert you if something isn't right, and especially on Windows, because, like, you know, looking at this, like, it was 850,000 machines, just this one. And, you know, you could be, if you have a Windows machine somewhere, you could be one of those 850,000 people next time. Or I think, didn't we cover one, Andrew, one time that was approximately like 11 squillion computers on the botnet, give or take? Like it was probably. Like so it was something like that. I don't remember anymore. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, this is another one of those like, hey, it's probably time to review your security, especially if you don't have any, you should get some. And that does go for Mac users as well. You should make sure you've at least got some basic protection enabled. And when we find out more about, if we ever find out about awesome ways to do that, we will make sure and talk about them. If you have an awesome security practice that you're already using on your Windows machines or on your Apple computers, we want to hear about it. You can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can also leave a comment in the show notes. And in this case, I would like to have you leave a comment in the show notes so that other people can see the stuff that you're doing and maybe get some tips. Our other topic today is near and dear to Brian's heart, and that is Apple and another wave of rumbling about Apple and VR and maybe headsets, but not, but yeah, but no, but yeah, but no, but right, Brian? Did I characterize that about right?
It's close enough. Yep. It's close enough. Andrew, and you want to give us the lowdown on the car going by my house?
So the folks over at Mac Rumors, they got their hands on this internal build of iOS 13, or at least documentation about it. Mm-hmm. And they found references to things about AR and VR. So they said that internal builds of iOS 13 include something called a Star Tester app, which can switch in and out of head-mounted mode, presumably, they say, to replicate the functionality of an AR headset for testing. And then there's also, so basically the shell that runs iOS 13 is called Springboard. If mm-hmm. you've ever heard that word, that's what it means. They found something called Starboard, which presumably would be the AR shell for that, mm-hmm. for, you know, AR-enabled apps. They found what they call various views and scenes. So it sounds like just different things you can do with the AR mode. Mm-hmm. And then they also found an internal bundle of Apple's Find My app that lets you find lost iOS devices, and I think macOS too. So they found this icon that looks similar to the Google Cardboard icon. So it looks like a VR headset with on and off versions, presumably. So this obviously furthers the rumors that Apple will eventually come out with their own AR headset. Because before, there was this report by DigiTimes that said Apple reportedly canceled that project. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like maybe they didn't.
I feel like Brian may be able to weigh in here with a little bit of commentary.
Yeah, I'm not yinging Andrew. I'm yinging DigiTimes in this particular case.
The assessment, yeah.
Because here's the thing. Apple is not investing billions of dollars for us to walk around with our phones in front of our face. I've been on this now for a while. Your longtime listeners, Kelly, will have heard me say that before. ACM listeners will have heard me say it before. Apple is not investing billions of dollars for us to walk around holding our phones in front of our face, because that's insane. And like, yes. To Mac Rumors credit, this is Joe Rosengall. Rosignol. You may know how to pronounce his name?
I do not.
No.
I feel when I look at it, I mentally I go Rosignol like skis. So
yeah, that's probably it. He included in his story a couple of relevant quotes. One is Tim Cook referring to his views on AR being profound. And then another quote that because AR amplifies human performance instead of isolating humans. Okay, so here's the thing. Apple is going to keep working on glasses of some sort, some kind of wearable display, until they get it right or someone else gets it right. Mm-hmm. Right? I think Apple would be perfectly fine. Well, they'd probably prefer to sell us these things, but I think Apple would be perfectly fine if some other company comes out with some kind of wearable display so that we can have AR working for us and being a part of our lives. That mm-hmm. would be fine. But until that happens, or until Apple does it, they're going to keep working on it, and they're not canceling it. They may be like I, you know, I always say that I am not a DigiTimes hater. There is
no
almost always a kernel of truth in anything that DigiTimes is reporting. It's what they conclude from that kernel is where they end up going wrong. So Apple yeah. may have canceled a particular line, a particular
approach,
a particular approach, or a particular one of the various things that they were testing. Mm-hmm. Some particular component. They may have moved people around. They may have fired a company because the company was leaking stuff, right? Something sure. probably happened here. But Apple is not canceling this program until this product is on the market.
No. And to your point, Brian, I think I'm with you 100%. It could be as easy as, we have a proof of concept device, and now that we know that we can do what we want to do, now we have to figure out how to do it in a way that's cool and useful and, a good experience and all of that. We've seen stuff like that happen before, 1.0, as it were. And they're not going to release 1.0. They're going to release 2.0 or 3.0. By the time we get our hands on it, we're not seeing the initial design, whatever it is. And Apple's been happy to be in the market after everybody. How many people were making MP3 players before we got iPods? How many people made phones before the iPhone?
Apple Watch was rushed, right? Mm-hmm. Are the three of us in agreement that Apple Watch was rushed? Apple Watch was not really ready for prime time when it was released.
No.
Yeah, I think so.
The original iteration was not. No. No.
With glasses, with a wearable display, mm-hmm. Apple has to get it right. Mm-hmm. In part because glasses were already Google Glass was already a flop. was panned, and for whatever reason, I don't actually understand why Google dropped this, but Google has dropped it, and Apple cannot risk having its wearable display dismissed the same way that Google Glass was dismissed.
Right.
So I believe that this is a product that will not be released until it's ready. And again, if another company comes out with it in the meantime, I think that would suit Apple's needs just fine, regardless, because at some point AR is not for holding our phones in front of our face.
Right. And we've seen that from Apple repeatedly. One of the things when we talked about the keynote and stuff this year from WWDC, one of the things that I thought was that kind of at least right after the keynote anyway, the opposite of what they spent the time on would be the stuff that was biggest deal. Because they almost casually mentioned sign in with Apple, which I think is going to be massive. And they spent loads and loads of time on the AR stuff and all of the AR features that are different things that you can do with your phone by pointing your camera at a thing and doing whatever it is they want you to do. And Apple has continued at every opportunity to point out AR is a thing, and you can do this stuff with Legos and with Lego bricks, and you can do this stuff with Minecraft, and you can do this stuff with all these other things. And Apple continues to beat this drum even when a lot of other people aren't. And I think part of that is because, this is something Tim Cook really wants to do. He views AR as profound. And using it to
proper AR is going to be society and life changing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I agree with that. And I think that's why they continue to get after it. And I think we're going to see something very interesting from them. Are we going to see it next week? Probably not. But are we going to see something interesting that goes about this in a new way? I certainly hope so, because I'm not interested in wearing glasses to make this work. I'm really not. I wasn't interested in the Snapchat ones. I wasn't interested in the Google ones. And so I'm very interested in finding out how Apple is going to do this so that you can get people out sort of from behind the glasses as well, because that doesn't work for a lot of people. I personally am not interested in wearing glasses. I got my eyes lasered up so that I wouldn't have to anymore. So you have to really convince me that this is a thing that's going to happen. And it's going to be hard with people who already wear glasses. Like, you know, just logistically, like, that's going to be a real high pain in the neck factor. So I don't see it being anything. I see it being an uphill battle if they're going to go with the glasses model. So I'm very curious to see how they do it.
I don't know. What are you talking about? What else are they going to go with?
I don't know.
You have to, for AR to work, you have to have a display.
Yes, you do.
And you're either holding it with your hand or you're putting it on your face. Until we can do contacts and then until we can have a brain implant.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, like, what are you talking about?
I don't know. Implant it in my eyeball like Terminator.
I mean, in the past, Tim Cook has said basically the same thing. Around the time when the Apple Watch first came out, like, I distinctly remember this interview with him where they're talking about wearable devices. And I think the interview, he must have made some mention of, like, maybe he mentioned the rumors of an AR headset. But Tim Cook was basically comparing it to Google Glass. And he said, like, unlike that, you know, this technology is on your wrist. It doesn't create a barrier between you and other humans, like, in front of your face.
Yeah, he said that the face was not the place for wearable computing. And I've noted several times that it does turn out that the face is where we see.
That's true.
So if we're going to put a display that has extra information on it, i.e. augmented reality, that display probably needs to be somewhere near our face. And he hasn't made that comment in years.
That's true.
Just like he hasn't denigrated toaster fridges. It's been years. I'm not trying to be funny. It's been years since he has denigrated toaster fridges.
No, it's true. But yeah, I was struggling because I'm still waiting for my toaster fridge. So that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, fair point.
Anyway, so
ultimately I agree with Brian. Like, these glasses, I think they have to be as close to actual looking glasses as possible. They can't be like geeky looking like Google Glasses. They, like the Apple Watch, they have to just blend into your life. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't think they're going to take off, at least in the beginning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm with you 100% on that. So
thanks, Robert Scoble.
And thanks, Brian, for putting that image back in my head.
Brian,
I'm going to put both of you on the spot. Do you think we will get any sort of news on this front next week at the event? Brian?
No.
Andrew?
No.
We'll get AR rumors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, but on this front, the AR front.
No,
not
we'll get AR kit news, but not nothing about the glasses.
Yeah, here's the new hardware. No, but yeah, do you think we'll get more attention paid to AR? Because I do too.
Yeah, Apple is investing billions of dollars in this. Apple has put a major effort into making iOS the premier AR platform in the world. So yeah, we're gonna get some AR stuff. We're nowhere near getting glasses of any sort. Some rumors have said as early as 2020. Frankly, I'd be surprised if they were ready that early. But you know, maybe.
Like maybe at the iPhone 12 event, we'll find out a little more about it. Or
yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Or the 13, or XXI. The MC2. I don't really know what
3DS that is. XL BBQ WTF. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, when we find out more, we will talk to you about it. And until then, we're going to call it for today. But I'd like to thank both of you for being here today. Andrew, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
And Brian, thank you for joining me to talk about one of your favorite subjects.
Indeed. Yeah, thanks for having us. Good stuff.
And I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.